The Civil War or War of Federal Aggression. John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Of what we call American Exposé. The direction continues to show itself with the superlative information that's being supplied on AmericanExposé.com. And certainly we look at, from the World Bank Group, Indigenous Peoples, comes right out of Chapter 26 of Agenda 21. And this is the problem. It says, the World Bank is honored to be working worldwide with Indigenous Peoples in global dialogue and in development projects. The World Bank aims to promote Indigenous Peoples' development in a manner which ensures that the development process fosters full respect for the dignity, human rights, and uniqueness of Indigenous peoples. Now, I'm not saying Indigenous peoples are bad. I'm just saying that the Indigenous peoples are being used as pawns for the furtherance of the Agenda 21 doctrine and direction from the United Nations system. Joan Vion has stated in the past that the United Nations, well, not the United Nations, but the State Department turned communist in 1960. And there is the crux of the problem. Without your knowledge about this, you don't have any ground to document where we're going. So what I suggest is that you go to, once again, it's very, very obvious that it is totally in place in the U.S. Code, listeners. Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman numeral 4, Communist Control. in the U.S. Code, listeners, Section 841, 842, 843, and 842. Very, very important documentation. I'll try to work with Darren this week to get it up on the site, as the documentation speaks for itself. Communism is not dead. Hans, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Chris. Hello.
Okay, now we're continuing from the last hour, 2 hours ago, or an hour ago, as we try to instill into the knowledge in people to do their research into directions that we throw at them. And certainly we left off to a certain respect. We left with Vaclav Havel, which he's very influential in many respects. And I'm trying to determine where I knew so much about him in the past. But you've got it on your website, 1964 STB report on Vaclav Havel. Now, what's the STB again?
STB is the Czechoslovak equivalent of the KGB. It means state security.
Okay, okay.
It was one of the worst, one of the most brutal communist secret police there is, besides the KGB.
Now, Vaclav Havel was whom? Because most people don't know a lot of these names that we throw out, or you throw out, actually. Vaclav Havel, what was his influence?
Well, he was the first dissident, basically the very well-known dissident, so-called dissident, and he was also the first president of the so-called free Czechoslovakia after the so-called collapse of communism. He actually came to the United States and spoke to the joint session of Congress, U.S. Congress, in 1990, and Havel claimed that in return of the collapse of Warsaw Pact, NATO should be basically dismantled, and he also asked the U.S. leaders to, in order to support democracy, financially support Russia.
Now, keep in mind, NATO was set up to defend the free countries against the Soviet Union, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's
that was a defensive North Atlantic treaty agreement with our Western European allies against the aggressive Warsaw Pact.
Isn't Russia trying to join NATO now?
I'm sorry, I can hear you. What?
Isn't Russia trying to join NATO now?
Well, yes, in a sense, but they don't have to. I actually reported this on my website. I was able to address this, but I can actually quote somebody really more more knowledgeable, who is Anatoly Golitsyn. He wrote in his Perestroika deception book, basically, and he wrote that given the continuing Russian influence and leverage in Eastern Europe, Eastern European and eventually Russian involvement in NATO are in the long-term Russian strategic interest, in accordance with Sun Tzu principle of, quote, entering the enemy camps unopposed. Though for different reasons, I share the view expressed by a writer in the New York Times of 11 January 1995 that East European membership would mean the ruin of NATO. The ruin of NATO is a long-term Russian objective toward the achievement of which much progress has already been made. I can really much substantiate this claim because I was able, let me see if I can find it real quick, I was able to report on my website about the Eastern European infiltration. I got it right here. As a matter of fact, the Czechoslovak military intelligence, the communist military intelligence, those files were never declassified. These people are still there, they are all communists that run the Czech military intelligence service. It's totally connected with the Russian GRU military intelligence, and these people were giving themselves security clearances and basically were involved in NATO. There was a scandal in Czech Republic, our NATO, so-called NATO ally, that a guy that was Czech National Security Agency Director, Tomáš Gadlec, he served there from 1998 to 2003, was also uncovered in the scandal. His security clearance was not proper, and he was found to have ties with the communists. There were some other people that were found to have communist ties to the previous openly communist regime. But the problem is that we took this, you know, this was purposely released, so we wouldn't look for the other people that are already in the NATO. It's becoming to the point that our efforts inside the NATO are being sabotaged by these people.
Well, you got to remember now, in the NATO Charter, I think which was established in 1949, it states right in the first sentence, "We uphold the principles of the United Nations." So all NATO is an extension arm of the United Nations system, and certainly NATO was involved in taking down Bosnia Herzegovina, Kosovo, and how do you get to the bottom of those situations? I'm sure you're not privy to too much information about Bosnia and Herzegovina and Kosovo, are you?
Well, besides that, I've been there twice in Yugoslavia. It's a country that always had a problem, and there's this sense that was reported by Czechoslovak defector Jan Šejna, General Jan Šejna. The Russians had a plan for Yugoslavia. They wanted to split Yugoslavia in certain parts because otherwise they wouldn't be able to infiltrate it very well, because Yugoslavian people are, Serbians are very much, people that will fight. And they were good allies of America during the World War II.
That's a good point. Now Yugoslavia has been divided up now, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yugoslavia does not exist anymore, does it?
No, not at all.
The sovereignty of Yugoslavia has been taken away from them, hasn't it?
Well, the thing is, you got to think in the military sense. How much is Yugoslavia important, or all these countries now created? How much are they important for the Russian military strategy? And it's very important because it's the southern flank for the Russian invasion of Western Europe, and that's being, I have plans that were made by Moscow and implemented in Czechoslovakia. They had military plans to invade Western Europe. They actually had plans. The timeline was 7 days, and they would conquer most of the continent, basically. They would use nuclear weapons, of course, and run through the rubble, basically, with tanks, and overrun Western Europe very quickly. So these plans are still available, and they were continually updated as the circumstances changed. I also have, in the case of NATO, I'm looking at a statement from, again, General Jan Šejna, about Holland, our NATO ally, and this is going so far back as the 1960s. Listen to this. This is very important. The Dutch government was so infiltrated, says Šejna, as far back as the 1960s, that Šejna recalled Marshal Grečko, was Soviet Marshal at that time, confidence that Holland would declare herself neutral in any conflict with the East, and the Dutch armed forces would not only support this decision, but would actively resist any attempt by the Western powers to use Dutch ports and cross Dutch territory. Mm. This is despite Holland's commitment to NATO. And look at who runs Western Europe. I mean, we have to assume how much we can trust these people, how much they, their resentment to support us in the Iraq campaign was pretty much visible and very obvious. And of course, they are mostly found in agreement with Russia today.
Mm-hmm.
So not only Yugoslavia as far as the, you know, the strategy of Moscow, but also the statement from Gorbachev about Europe from the Urals to the Atlantic. You know, that means that not the Western democracy will move toward east, but the opposite, the Eastern totalitarian, disguised totalitarian society will move towards the west. And look at the socialism in European Union. I mean, we can pretty much see that this is being implemented in front of our eyes.
Okay, now it's been quoted to me before by various individuals that Mikhail Gorbachev has stated that the European Union is the new Soviet. That's what
he
said.
Yeah, I heard that.
You've heard that too?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's no surprise, Chris, at all. See, these people are claiming. I actually came across through my sources to information. Let me see if I can really find. Oh, there it is. When Boris Yeltsin replaced Gorbachev in 1991, he ordered Gennady Burbulis, his deputy or advisor, person that was involved in the government there, to set up a secret audit of the Russian government, where the money went during the Gorbachev era. So they created Burbulis Committee, let me quote right here from the information I got. While Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev was begging the West for foreign assistance, the KGB was frantically transferring billions of dollars in currency and gold to various Western countries for the purpose of buying Western businesses to use as false funds for subversion and sabotage. In addition, the Russians used communist funds to create at least 84 companies listed on the New York Stock Exchange. This economic network is growing and operates in Austria, Sweden, Germany, France, the UK, Belgium, Japan, Canada, the Philippines, and the United States. According to the Burbulis Committee, the Communist Party Soviet Union, assisted by the KGB and GRU, that's a Russian military intelligence, transferred over $20 billion in assets to 7,000 bank accounts around the world between 1989 till 1991. The money was transported by Russian, quote, diplomats, unquote, in diplomatic pouches. This operation was merely a small part of a much larger operation aiming at the penetration of key Western business sectors. The Burbulis Committee closed down its audit because the participants began to fear for their lives. Related to this movement of communist cash, the same thing happened with money belonging to the Czechoslovak Communist Party. So, I mean, these people, at the same time, they were trying to get money to, quote, safeguard their, unquote, their nuclear arsenal by our Western money. They were transporting their own money, to the West. And when you read books like Red Cocaine by Dr. Douglas, you see how much they were interested in infiltrating our Western banks and how much they were involved in money laundering. I have another case that is really interesting, case of a former Ukraine prime minister. That was the first prime minister of Ukraine after the so-called collapse of communism. He was arrested in San Francisco. His name is Pavel Lazarenko. He was arrested for money laundering in San Francisco area. And he had about, I think the report says about $40 billion.
Really?
$40 million. But, of course, it might have been even more. But he was tried in court of law and convicted of money laundering. And this person had was in charge of Ukraine secret services, basically, which were always subsequent to subordinate to the KGB. So the connection is also there, and there are certain operations involving the so-called Russian mafia the money laundering of Russian mafia, but the Russian mafia mostly staffed with quote former unquote KGB officers, and they caused major problems here in America. So you know, there's no way that these people would operate by themselves. They have to have the state sector and state power behind them, the intelligence ability, the gathering of intelligence, they always protect it, you know, and they corrupt our government officials, justice system, you know, there's a certain problem in California, in Los Angeles area, in New Jersey. I mean, this is all a serious problem, and they're here to cause sabotage and problems. So the Berberis Committee, what they stated was quite accurate, because it shows how much infiltration the Russians were interested in, and how important it was to them, because when you control the society, when you control the part of the government, namely those responsible for foreign policy of the country, then you control the country, basically.
Okay, so economically, the infiltration is going on in this country, you think, with Soviet influence or Russian influence?
Well, absolutely. I, you know, there's involvement in the strategic, and I reported this before, as involvement in the strategic spheres, like, for example, the oil business. Russian company, Russian oil company, let's see if
Yugos.
I can find the name. I don't have the name right now, but they signed agreement with Conoco. So Russians have involvement in oil business here in America. They also are buying, as a matter of fact, I reported this too, they acquired the only platinum mine in the Western Hemisphere, which is in Montana. The Stillwater Mining Company, it's owned by the Russian state-run company also, and the platinum, that's a strategic metal because it's used for military purposes, for high-tech weapons, nuclear submarines, and you name it. So, you know, and of course this same company is involved also in South Africa, where the rest of the platinum mines. So when you look at this, it's a major push by the Russians to acquire Western businesses, to have a stake in them, and at the time when they're ready, they can cause all kinds of mischief and sabotage and you name it. So it's all deeply in the how should I say it? The Russian infiltration of America, it's real. And it's not for a good thing. It's when you understand that the collapse of communism was set up by the Russians and was orchestrated by them. They were preparing for it for 40, 50 years. They didn't leave any kind of sphere untouched. They basically prepare themselves for everything. They control the moves they make, and they are prepared to take any kind of steps to protect their strategy. And therefore, we see that we are in a situation where our economy is in a state that it's going a little bit down.
No, yeah.
As far as the fuel price and all that. We see that we are dependent on foreign oil. We are, in a sense, you know, owing money to big corporations, banks, and the government is the deficit, national deficit is going up. So you know, that's not a favorable situation. So how much is enough? I mean, how much can we afford?
Yeah, no. Keep in mind
this,
that
more and more. I mean, there's some kind of line to be drawn, and you know, we are in a situation where people just keep buying and buying, and don't think that. You know, we are in for bad times also. So, I mean, really.
We're experiencing the results of Executive Order 12803, which was done in 1992. It was called infrastructure privatization, which allows any entity to buy up portions of this country, and that includes water treatment facilities. It also includes dams. Assets of this country can be bought up by private enterprises. And I see right here, dated May 25th, in the business section of the Oklahoman, Buffett buying utility, striking the second biggest deal of his career and making a major move in the energy industry. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett agreed Tuesday to pay $5.1 billion in cash to acquire Western Estates Electric Utility Pacific Core, only a $16 billion stock purchase of reinsurance giant General Ray. In 1998, outranks the latest buy for Buffett's investment vehicle. So what does he have? He has the COPCO number one dam operated by Pacific Core on the Klamath River outside Hornbrook, California. The Klamath River Basin area, all these dams are owned by Warren Buffett now. And in many respects, none of this is publicized, where assets are sold to foreign entities, like more than likely assets of communist China, assets of Russia, and yet we're seeing in the news right off the website AmericanExpose.com, group says UK-US aid for Africa falls woefully short. I see here in the paper dated June 8th, Bush pledges support for Africa, and he's going to give $674 million for relief. And this article here from IPF, dated June 8th, a U.S. promise to disperse $674 million for famine relief in Africa has disappointed independent development groups who decried the proposal as a sham that offers too little in face of the continent's mounting crisis. Now, Africa is a major target for communist infiltration, isn't it?
It's already in hands of communists. I mean, you look at the most important country in Africa, South African Republic. Basically, it's in the hands of Russian-trained communist revolutionaries. The South African president Mbeki studied on the Soviet Moscow University of Patrice Lumumba, the University for Revolutionaries. During the openly communist era, so he's got preparations from Moscow. The ANC, South African government, is full of communists. I mean,
The ANC is the The ANC was formed through Nelson Mandela, wasn't it?
Right, correct. African National Congress, Council.
I think you're right. African National Congress.
Right. Nelson Mandela, what a case. He was built up into some kind of
hero.
Some kind of hero, right? But he was actually caught with explosives when they caught him to blow up one government building. And the guy is communist to the core.
He's a revolutionary communist, isn't he?
Right, absolutely. And he was tried in court of law and sentenced to all these years to prison, rightfully so, because he's a terrorist. And the socialist propaganda and the press, Western press, made him into the liberal press made him into some kind of hero, which is totally false.
Now Nelson Mandela is a terrorist, or was a terrorist, or is a terrorist. He advocated necklacing. Do you know what necklacing is?
No, not exactly. No.
They put a tire around someone's neck with their hands tied behind their back, fill the tire with gasoline, and light it on fire. That's their terrorist agenda for people that want to disagree with what they want to do. Is they'll take people and tie them up, stand them up, put the tire around their neck, and put gasoline in that portion of the tire that will hold gasoline, and light it on fire. That's what necklacing is. Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela, were both proponents of necklacing. And so, you know, here we are in Africa. We're being chastised for giving $674 million for famine relief, and it's not enough. And so what do we do? But we have Africa as a gigantic Hegelian dialectic where the problem is set up to suck money out of our country, to depress our country financially. And this is what the ultimate goal of the whole system is to bankrupt everyone, to destroy the middle class. Isn't this well underway, Hansa?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. And the only way to do away with this is to stop supporting any kind of regimes, keep the money home, and prepare for the worst, and tell the American people about it.
When you say prepare for the worst, what, in your opinion, could be the worst?
The worst, nuclear war. That's what the Russians are setting up.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This supergovernment will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
Okay, and welcome back to the broadcast. The break came up rather quick without a notification that the break was about to happen, so we kind of got interrupted. Did you keep your thought in place as we went to break, Hansa?
Of course, yeah. I'm actually looking at it right here. As it was reported by WorldNet Daily in 2000, it's about inside Russia's Magic Mountain. It's a secret nuke-proof complex, it's regarding the Yamantau complex and the Urals, also the Voronov complex. I'm looking at the pictures where it is. Russians were claiming that they have, they have not enough money to safeguard the Soviet era nukes, the nuclear missiles, but they came up with a lot of money to build these. There's about 200 such nuclear bunkers. The price tag is to be believed that the Russian government has pumped more than $6 billion into Yamantau Mountain alone. I'm reading from the website here. To construct a sprawling underground complex that spans an area as large as Washington, D.C. inside the Beltway, some 400 square miles. It is believed to be large enough to house 60,000 persons with a special air filtration system designed to withstand a nuclear, chemical, or biological attack. Enough food or water is believed to be stored at the site to sustain the entire underground population for months on end. you know, the Cold War supposedly ended, so why would they build such an expensive, like I said, there's at least 200 sites like that in Russia.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is, and, you know, of course this was questioned, but not enough. I mean, you know, and the Voronova complex is even more, you know, interesting, because it's got underground tunnel built, you know, underground subway system built, and it connects, Voronova is actually south of Moscow, and it's connected with the Kremlin.
I see.
So, you know, the and this is all supported. I'm looking at the pictures here at the U.S. intelligence community satellite pictures, and it's quite remarkable that you know this is being overlooked. You know, it has nothing to do with the end of you know, Cold War or any kind of protection of the country of Russia. And then we have to ask, against whom? Protection against whom? Who is the, you know, they have, there's only three major nuclear powers in the world. There's the United States, Russia, and China. And Russia's got agreements with China. As a matter of fact, Chinese military is getting 50%, over 50% of the weaponry comes from Russia, the high-tech weaponry.
Yeah, there you go. They've always been allied, haven't they?
Of course, yeah, there's never any split. As a matter of fact, the split was orchestrated. It was very well described by Anatoly Golitsyn in his book, first book, New Lies for Old.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him, because it's rather important to see that that this is in fact the case. The Sino-Soviet split was orchestrated by both sides, to pretend that China somehow separated from the Soviet bloc and became independent, to get us into to get our government into believing that China is somehow able to become friendly to America. Look at today. I mean, it's Chinese government is still preparing for militarily. I mean, is preparing to take over Taiwan. They threatened America with nuclear attack in 1993, I believe. They were threatening with attacking the Los Angeles area with nuclear weapons.
Right.
You know, they are communists. What can I say? I mean, these people are communists, so they are sworn enemies of America. And no matter how much they build, you know, cheap products for us, they use the money for their military buildup. And it's quite remarkable that our so-called experts are not following this carefully.
Now, that's a very good point. I see here, dated June 8th, in the Oklahoman, China, the gathering threat. America's understandable preoccupation with terrorism in Iraq may have obscured the gathering threat of China as a formidable adversary. Also, Hansa, I'm seeing here, thanks to Dennis's research, dated June 7th, Uzbekistan crackdown was massacre. You know about Uzbekistan, correct?
Yeah.
It says the Uzbek government's lethal crackdown against protesters last month amounted to a massacre that the leadership is trying to cover up, a leading human rights watchdog said Tuesday. And once again, Human Rights Watch, I don't know whether they're an NGO of the UN or not, but says Human Rights Watch, in what it described as the first comprehensive independent report into the killings in the town of Anjan, said basic questions, including how many actually died, remained unanswered. It accused President Islam Karimov's government of obstructing an international inquiry and demanded it allow such a probe. Uzbekistan used to be part of the Soviet Union, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's being run by person that has ties with formerly ties, quote unquote, with the KGB. So.
Mm.
Russian involvement. You got to understand, the split of the Soviet Union never happened. It's all orchestrated by the Russians. They kept their cadres in power, and this is proven. I did research on the so-called revolution in Ukraine and found out that most of the Ukraine government officials are tied to the KGB.
No.
It's all...
Now, listeners, this is the point. This is why we do this, because Hansa has knowledge that we don't. And here we see information. Here he has information. He has knowledge of his past to the present. He's been in this country 15 years, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And you were once again, you were drafted into the... Czechoslovakian Air Force, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah, I was there.
And you flew aircraft for the Czechoslovakian Air Force?
No, I never flew an aircraft.
You were on the ground?
They wouldn't let me anywhere near it, based on my family background. I was only a soldier, but I've seen things over there, so, the people like me would never get anywhere near flying.
Because you defect.
Because I was from a family that we were landowners and we were blacklisted because of our we were bourgeoisie, basically taking was bourgeoisie.
Bourgeoisie.
Bourgeoisie. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So there's no way that I would ever be accepted. Not even that I wouldn't even want it. I was drafted. I had to join. I would end up in the communist prison for 3 to 5 years. So
now in Czechoslovakia, private land ownership is not allowed, isn't it?
Well, they pretend that it is, but they but during the communist era, of course not. It was owned by the state, by the communists.
So now they're supposedly democratizing, as a show of change, correct?
Right, but.
But it's not
they created
really
such an economic situation that most of the people sold their land anyway because they couldn't keep it. So my family had to sell the land. We received some of it back, not all of it though.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the property that was ours, where the some of the high level communists, because the area was in a mountain area, in the recreational area. It was like a pasture and some woods. It was not a whole lot of property, but still it was substantial acreage for the small landowners. So they built some nice houses on our property, and that property is still in the hands of the people that stole it. So that's just to show that the so-called return of property never happened, really. It was just show for the West.
I see. Do you still have people that you know in Czechoslovakia?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Are you able to communicate with them very well?
It's so far, I mean, not that... how should I say it? There were some problems with phone connection and all that, but... of course, then I went back to see for myself what it looks like, and I found some things that I really didn't like. So, namely, when people think that the main culprits of the communist regime of the there were clearly murders committed and tyranny, brutal, oppression. All these culprits, Western people think that they were all genuine trials and these people ended up in prison, which is totally flawed. I mean, it's false. It never happened. As a matter of fact, these people were protected by the newly so-called democratic regime from the beginning. So, and it was quickly enacted, the Václav Havel regime, the so-called dissident regime, enacted a law that protected these communists from any kind of justice.
Uh-huh.
And, it's practically impossible to bring these people into court. There was a family, I know about a case, it was a really high-level case involving the former prime minister of Czechoslovakia, Lubomír Strougal. He ordered, when he was director of the STB, secret police, during the 60s, he ordered the STB to assassinate two anti-communist people, and they were killed by the STB. And it took 10 20 years after the so-called collapse of communism, it took the victim families 10 years to bring Strugal to justice. Well, guess what? He walked free from the courtroom. The judge let him go because of the legal continuity law. So basically, according to newly so-called democratic regime, he was not guilty because he was according to the law what they did back then. It was according to the communist law that the assassination was clearly done legally because the communists had such a law. This is the perverse ways. These are the perverse ways that the newly so-called democratic regime set up. And so this is just to show how the so-called collapse of communism is totally, it's a major fraud. It's organized from Moscow. It's set up to our consumption to believe that Russia is no longer a threat. So cases are cases that are really showing. I mean, there's a lot of people that have the same kind of problem. I mean, this is not an isolated case.
And the point is that the worldwide communist movement is not dead, correct?
Absolutely.
It's alive and well. It's moving inroads into the UN system, formed from the start to be a communist infiltration bloc, the UN system, correct?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
And so Rhodesia was once a thriving country, and there was a communist movement in Rhodesia, and it failed. Or actually, it succeeded. Communism took over Rhodesia. It turned into Zimbabwe. Isn't that correct?
Well, and most of the African continent is now in control, or in control of communists, or in the civil war in some countries. The communist guerrilla, supplied by Russian weapons, by the way, Russian and Chinese weapons, and these people are slowly taking over. There was a problem in Liberia, if you remember.
Right.
Yeah, that was the same type. So, they are always Russian advisors present and Eastern European advisors. For example, Czechoslovak military intelligence service was very active in Africa and also very active in South America. I mean, these people were never recalled. They are still there.
Mm-hmm.
In Colombia, where the drug trafficking comes from, where cocaine comes from, in Argentina and Brazil. I mean, look at South America. That's the same case as Africa.
Yes.
I mean, we got communist president in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. I mean, that guy is a good friend with Fidel Castro.
Well, I see here from Santiago, the War on Terror, identified in Amnesty International's annual report as a new source of human rights abuses, is threatening to expand to Latin America, targeting indigenous movements that are demanding autonomy and protesting free market policies and neoliberal globalization. And certainly this is the UN and the U.S. is what they're talking about. This is dated June 7th. In other words, from the 1970s with the Sandinistas, it was all communist-sponsored, and infiltration was going on in South America, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, a very, very important part of the world is South America for the communists, because we had allies in South America, namely Brazil, Argentina for some time. Also, Venezuela was friendly. We were buying oil from Venezuela, major oil supplier to the United States. Again, it ties into the Russian military strategy. I mean, they want us to be completely cut off from the world and to be isolated, and then, you know, it's only a matter of time when they implement the policy.
Now, keep in mind, that's what FTAA is all about, Free Trade Area of the Americas. It's a deal with South America, with the UN system, which we're a major part of. And this is through the communist movement that's been going on for so many decades. Many of these countries are communist countries now, where they're utilizing slave labor down there to produce. And isn't this the way it is, Hansa?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. See, the problem with American thinking is, well, you know, communism is dead. There's no Russian involvement anymore.
Right.
Which is, again, totally wrong to think, and very dangerous for our country's survival. And, you know, so these things are going to be put in place. The simple logic of the so-called collapse of communism in Eastern Europe and the collapse of Soviet Union.
Now here I see on Monday, June 13th, in the Oklahoma paper, the Oklahoman, a bomb apparently wired to railroad tracks derailed a passenger train traveling from Chechnya to Moscow on Sunday, injuring at least 15 people on a Russian national holiday. The blast occurred just hours before President Vladimir Putin marked the Day of Russia holiday with a reception and awards ceremony in the Kremlin. Officials did not name any suspects, and no group claimed responsibility. But Chechen separatist rebels frequently stage attacks on Russian holidays. Now, are these Chechen rebels, separatist rebels, are they just not freedom fighters over there?
No. These are the leader of the Chechen so-called Chechen mafia is one Shamil Basayev, former Red Army Special Forces paratrooper. I don't see how this guy could be born again Muslim or whatever he claims to be,
mm-hmm.
because those were hardened communists during that time. It's actually stated by Kalitsyn in his book Perestroika Deception about the Chechen use of Chechen mafia. These are Soviet-trained soldiers, basically, and you know, the strategy by the Russians is basically to create their own terrorism problem, which is non-existent in a sense, because you know, if you look at the targets that the Chechen mafia chose before, they were all civilian targets. If these were freedom fighters, they would choose Russian military and government targets, but none of that happened ever. I mean, were there any Russian bases attacked or any government offices attacked? No, always civilian targets. Why? I mean, this doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. And so, what is your feeling on this?
Well, basically, Russians want to look like that they are strategic partners in the war on terror, which they control themselves.
That's what I was looking for.
Right.
There's the point, and there's the problem. The deception continues, doesn't it?
Of course, and it's very much. I mean, I don't have to look too far to look. You know, the bottom line is we put too much trust in people that we should reject from the beginning. We trust communists to tell us the truth, and that's the wrong way to do it. I mean, that's totally flawed, and it will cost us in the end. So we can't really trust somebody that's criminal. You know, the communist ideology is criminal from the beginning. It deprives anybody of freedom. It only sets up control of the society by the communists, by those who agree with communists. It never allows any kind of opposition, and it destroys the freedom and the spirit of freedom in a man. And communism is a danger. It's a work of the devil, and we should oppose it with all might. Otherwise, we will regret it.
And that is the message you leave us with. Is on a constant basis, you do this. You are concerned because what you see in this country, you've seen happen in other countries. Correct?
Absolutely. I'm very much concerned what will happen in the near future. I mean, that's what they're setting up for.
Now, the administration has stated it's not a matter of if, but when the next terrorist event happens in this country. Now, if a terrorist event happens in this country and Al-Qaeda is claimed to be behind it by the press and the media and the government, could it be something besides Al-Qaeda that sets off the terrorist event in America?
Well, Al-Qaeda is just a front. I mean, these are Russian nuclear weapons. These are Russian dirty bombs set up. As far as, based on my knowledge from the military over there,
mm-hmm.
there's no way that these kind of weapons would be ever allowed in hands of terrorists, ever. unless they were supervised by Russian officers or any other Eastern European military officers. There's no way, I repeat, that these kind of weapons would be allowed in the hands of terrorists, Islamic terrorists. If there's any kind of nuclear attack on America, terrorist nuclear attack, or any kind of biological or chemical attack, it's all done by the culprits, by Moscow. And that has to be understood by the West, otherwise, see, the Russians created an enemy that's basically not as important as they are. You know, they're using very clever deception to sway our intelligence on the wrong track. And so far it's working because, we don't understand that this is even possible, that the collapse of communism is possible to set up. So it's very difficult to push this kind of message around, trying to persuade Americans to take care and to really start looking the proper way at Russia, what really happened, and how they're preparing themselves militarily. How they're supplying the entire block with weapons, and of course, see, they train terrorists during the communist era. That's a very well known fact. Russians, the Eastern European bloc, they train terrorists during the communist era, and none of these files. If Russia was such a strategic ally of ours in the war on terror, how come they never supplied us any names of these terrorists, these Islamic terrorists? We're talking about the PLO, Hamas, Al-Qaeda is being supplied by Russian weapons. They have to have files on these people. How come this is never, we don't hear about that? How come our military and our intelligence services don't have any data on these people? How come Al-Qaeda was successful in attacking us on 9/11? How come Russians, if they are such friends of ours, how come they didn't inform us about these people?
Well, at this stage, the 9/11 scenario was it had to be an inside job. Most of these terrorist events in America, I'm talking about the Oklahoma City bombing, it was an inside job because there are military explosives dismantled at the Murrah Building, and the press reported it right away, but then they covered it up after that. The World Trade Center, it had to be an inside job, and what I'm saying is that the infiltration process into our federal government today is so vast that they can pull these things off to get Homeland Security in place, and they have former KGB people engineering the passport process in America. You know about that, correct?
Yeah, that's the problem too.
So here we've got infiltration in our government today that is helping to further the communist totalitarian agenda, including the communitarian network in Washington, D.C. Communitarianism is reinventing communism in a smiley face. But we're just about out of time again. And as we do these shows, I think you're getting more response as we do these, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting some positive response from, listeners and my friends.
We want to keep this going if it's not too difficult for you.
No, absolutely not. This message has to go out, Chris.
Can you do this again at the 7 o'clock Central Time next Wednesday?
No, absolutely. I'll be there for you.
Okay, Hansa, give me a call in about 10 minutes, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Hansa Molina, listeners, former Czechoslovakian defector and understanding, or actually a Czechoslovakian defector and former citizen of Czechoslovakia. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time.